meeting is now being recorded.
Thank you. Hello, everyone. This is Brenda speaking. Welcome to RDS Who Is Two plenary call number 47 on January 28, 2019 at 1500 UTC. Attending the call today, we have Volker, Lily, Dimitri, Alan, Susan. We have no observers. From ICANN.org, we have Jean-Baptiste, Jackie, and Brenda. I do have apologies from Erica, and Stephanie indicated she'll join us shortly. Today's call is being recorded. I'd like to remind you to please state your name before speaking. And Alan, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and apologies in advance. I do have some construction work going on, and there may be some noise on occasion. Are there any changes to statement of interests? Hearing nothing, then we'll go on to the first part of the agenda. And we're looking at a pretty large number of changes that we are proposing that have come out of editing runs over the last little while. First one is on strategic priority, and I added a sentence. The sentence was talking about, as outlined, the ICANN CEO was furthermore instructed by the ICANN board to oversee improvements to enforce contractual conditions related to GTLD, related to who is in registry and registrar agreements. The CEO was also instructed, although it's not relevant to this section, to do outreach. However, there were recommendations that don't fall into those buckets. And one of the reasons that the original Who Is team was somewhat perturbed is the board did not say implement all of the recommendations, but identified some of them, only some of them. Nevertheless, they all were implemented. So in note of that, I added the sentence, we note that the CEO was instructed to oversee changes related to specific areas and not all of the changes recommended, but that was in fact done. I'm not sure that last part of the sentence is clear. Susan, as a former team member of the first review team, does that sound okay to you?
Yes.
Okay. But that was in fact done. Is it clear what the that was? That the changes were implemented or were not implemented? How about changing it to, but in fact all recommendations, one of them was not implemented. Okay, I'll try to clean up the wording to make sure it's not confusing. I don't like wordsmithing on the fly. Okay, there. Next one is just a formatting issue. Analysis. We need a short paragraph at the end saying the review team was okay. This is on the section of strategic priority talking about the committee, and we have under analysis, according to feedback from ICANN organization, the ICANN board receives CEO updates on a trimester basis or on the status of key organizational activities, including RDS improvements. No documents were provided. This is at the end of the section talking about the failures of the past board committee. And I realized in our recommendation, we say, when you form a new committee, make sure you have a charter and things like that. But we never actually note that we were told the old committee was dissolved. And I'm suggesting that we not use the word dissolved because it's not clear what the actual status is, but simply say the old committee is no longer active. Susan, does that reflect what we were actually told by Chris? Because I don't remember the exact wording.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, and Erica mentioned it too, that they no longer had either whatever they call it, working group or a committee.
Yeah, it may have been a caucus. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I couldn't remember the term.
Okay, but simply a vague term saying no longer active, I think, covers it and explains
yes.
why we're making a recommendation looking forward instead of at what has been described as the current committee. So I'll add something to that effect. Next slide. Okay. This is on strategic priority, which, again, that was Catherine's, I think. It says that most global organizations started responding to GDPR-related things in 2012. I can't in clear conscience say that, you know, just given the number of privacy statements that were changed last May. I think the best we can say is many. I certainly can't accept most. Is many okay with you, or do you want to make it even weaker? I'm not sure how many people really started responding in 2012. If I don't hear anything, I'll assume. Go ahead.
This is Susan. I don't think even many global corporations, maybe some local corporations in the EU caught on to that, but I think everybody pretty much waited till there was a worry of fines, so I would say some.
Okay. Jean-Baptiste, if you could note that. All right, next one is these recommendations are aligned with something's wrong there. Let me pull up the original document. That seems to be multiple sentences merged together. The original document.
Alan, this is the section just before recommendations.
Okay. Sorry, I don't see changes like that in this document. It's on page 11?
Because the changes, I think, were accepted, but they were made.
So I'm not quite sure what was there before. Okay, I think it's just a cleanup of the previous sentence or rewriting of the previous sentence. There's a typo in it that it should be already seeks to reflect. And the focus is too much on compliance. Okay, that's just a rewrite of the sentence for grammar. So I think we're okay there. And I see Jackie's already made the change in the document, so we don't need an action item. All right, next item, please. That's the footnote that we already discussed and approved. So I think that one is fine. That's the addressing the NCSG comment of they don't understand the numbering. It's still not crystal clear, but I don't think it's going to get any better. Number 12. All right. That's a rewrite from Catherine of the rationale for the recommendation on monitoring things. And I think it reads okay as it is. It's hard to read with all the changes, but I believe that's okay unless anyone has any comment. Give you a chance to parse the whole thing. Volker, please go ahead.
Hi, just a question. I'm just trying to read the first part of the rationale, and I don't see any changes between the erased part and the added part, unless I'm overlooking something here. Can you just... It seems to be word for word the same, if I'm not mistaken here. So what actually changed?
You're right, and I don't know. But if it hasn't changed, I think we can accept it anyway. I'm not quite sure what.
It just makes it harder to spot the changes of all the edits.
Yeah, no, I understand. Jackie, this is something that Catherine did, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're right, I hadn't caught on to that. I was just trying to read what was left, and I didn't look at the taken out part. So I think we can accept it at that point, assuming there were no changes. Thank you, Volker, for catching that. All right, next slide.
Alan?
Yes?
Sorry, I had my hand raised.
I'm sorry.
Ask you, no problem. Do you recall what was meant by soft policy measures?
I think the issue was it's not necessarily legislation, but you know, there can be other actions that are taken by governments that effectively change our environment. So I think that was a reference to I'm trying to remember the example we gave, and I don't. Volker may remember, or Susan. But I think we were concerned that if they just look at legislation, they may miss important issues. So it can be existing legislation where the enforcement actions change. It can be other things other than legislative action that may change the environment. So we're saying they have to be conscious of what's going on, not just looking at legislation in a very tight way. I'm not sure if maybe other words are better, but that was the intent.
Thanks. Would it be worth clarifying that maybe in the rationale?
I'm not quite sure what wording to use. If anyone has any suggestion, I'm open to it. Catherine, unfortunately, is not on the call. Oh, Catherine is on the call. Sorry. I see Catherine has joined us, has Carlton. Catherine, do you have any insight into this? This is your change, although Volker noted that at least how the document is marked up on the screen, there was no change, just retyping of the same words. But nevertheless, do you have any thought on, do we need to elaborate on what soft policy measures mean? Can Catherine speak?
Yes, this is she. Hi. Sorry I'm late.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, excellent. Did you want me to say something more than hi?
Yeah. Yes, I guess you weren't on voice when we asked the question. Volker asked the question, Jean-Baptiste asked the question, what do soft policy measures mean? And Jean-Baptiste had pointed out that although it looks like this paragraph has many changes, it seems to be the result is the same as the beginning. That may be a result of how it was marked up. I'm not sure. So if you could comment on both of those.
Yeah, so so there's one part that shows up as deleted. I don't know why, which basically is just reiterated right after the deleted thing. So that's identical. Important to also take into account the relevant non-legislative developments, such as soft policy measures, which is identical to the previous text that was there, or guidance provided by. That's actually new, or guidance provided by authorities on the implementation of relevant legislation. And that's an edit that is not from me. That basically seeks to reflect the issue that was raised by other team members at the face-to-face, that it shouldn't just be legislative developments that should be monitored. It was Dmitry who raised this, rightfully so. And top policy measures are things like guidelines for certain desired behaviors or, any kind of non-binding tools that basically like codes of conduct or other agreements that are entered into voluntarily.
All right.
That's what we meant by soft policy measures. If that's not a term of the art, again, I'm not a native speaker. That's what we use in Brussels speak. But we can certainly replace that with something that's more accessible.
Why don't we just put a footnote saying such as, I've lost what you just said, guidance documents or best practices.
That sounds excellent.
All right. There's a last paragraph on the page that's deleted. I'm not quite sure if it was moved somewhere else or it was just felt we didn't need it. If you have any memory of that, Catherine, please contribute.
Yes, this is Catherine again. That's a sentence that we moved from rationale up to the analytical part. At your suggestion, that this was a very good summary of the actual results of our analysis rather than rationale for the recommendation. So that shows up elsewhere in the document further up.
Okay. That's what I thought was the case. All right. Let's go on to the next page unless anyone has any questions on this one. I hear nothing. So page 10. Oh, sorry, page 9. Implementation has... Okay, we again have wording that seems to be... Let me read the final version.
And Katrina is her hand raised. Hello.
Oh, Catherine, please go ahead then.
Yes, just to explain, so again, these changes were made to accommodate the fact that the board working group has been dissolved and that we were basically trying to make the language more
open-ended. So rather than referring to an existing board working group whose charter might need to be adapted, we speak more neutrally of any charter for any such board working group that would need to do certain things and correspond to certain criteria.
Okay, thank you. I think that's clear then. I'm not worried about the exact wording. We're going to have to do a very careful final proofread of this to make sure, and Jackie will be doing that to make sure the sentences all parse after these are accepted, but I think the intent is fine. Next slide.
Alan, can I just quickly comment on one sentence?
Yes, please, go ahead.
In the implementation, when it's written, this should be implemented as soon as possible and at the latest within 6 months. You need to take the phone, Alan?
Yeah, just give me a second, please.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No problem. So on this timeline here in the implementation, just to note, I recall that when we had the operational input on the last day of the face-to-face, there was a concern that this timeline would be infeasible given the 6 months time frame. The board has to take action on recommendation per the ICANN bylaws. So I'm just wondering whether this should be updated too.
I read this as 6 months from the time the board accepts any recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is that is fine. If we have timelines and if we have, I don't know to what extent we have timelines like this. We do have a number of others, I think, in at least one or two places that I can think of, and I would. Perhaps we need a global note somewhere saying any timelines are in relation to when the board accepts the recommendations. And if we can perhaps make a note to add that somewhere. All right, if there's no other items, let's go on to the next slide. And this is just correcting, again, changing the recommendation and the findings to reflect the fact that we're now talking about a new committee, not the existing one. I see no hands. Next item, please. And this, again, is Catherine's changes to reflect the fact that the committee is a new one at this point. Give you a moment to look at it.
I just wanted to mention as well that the link to the report index is just below the agenda on the right side of the screen, and I'll post it in the chat as well.
Thank you. All right. No comments on this? I think this is all in line with what we previously agreed to. Next one, please. having trouble understanding what this change is. And it's not one I've
So here, Alan, you had added a footnote that's under single WHOIS policy.
Ah, okay.
That's one of the changes you had listed.
Yes, yes, okay. Just noting the PDP. The original text notes that the PDP was suspended. It looked like the simplest way to note that it was since been terminated is to add it as a footnote. And I see a comment, Catherine.
Yes, just a really simple one. This is Catherine. Can we just not replace the text and say, do you want to leave it as is? Because I'm wondering whether it now has any added value.
I don't know. I did that because it seemed simpler at the time, but let me look at the original, at the full document right now. Sorry, I've got to get to the right document. Too many.
Because we could just say something like, after 27 months, blah, 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 the RDS PDP working group was terminated. The documents are available for examination here if you want to preserve the link to the work that they did. Then we don't have to go into all the details about how the formal action is still pending, which no longer seems of interest now.
Yeah, okay, so if we say after 27 months of contentious deliberations and phase one portion of the roadmap work plan, next generation PDP was suspended and later terminated due to the ongoing effort to address GDPR. Does that sound okay? And delete the rest of that paragraph. Ongoing effort to address the GDPR or address GDPR. All right, next item. All right, still on single WHOIS. Yeah, okay. It currently reads, in event that the ICANN board adopted the temporary specification that the consensus policy expected. It doesn't read. I think what it's trying to say is that the board adopted the temporary specification with the hope that the consensus policy consensus policy was expected to Can someone help me here? In any event, the ICANN board, and there should not be a dash there, adopted the temporary specification with the hope that the consensus, the resultant consensus policy would form the basis for a single who is policy. I think that says what we're trying to say. It's not 100% clear that would be the case, but that, I believe, was the intention of the board at the time. All right, no comments. All right. After the summary findings, which you see there, there is then a section called research findings, and the subgroup followed the timeline from release of the WHOIS report to present current time. The RDS WHOIS 2 review team examined the responses to the WHOIS, and next slide. And it went into some detail about what was done. Now, it surely shows the diligence of this subgroup, but I'm not sure this all adds a lot to the report. And Carlton, this is yours. It's an interesting piece of writing, but I'm not sure what it adds to the report. Do you feel strongly about it? Carlton, can you speak? Yeah, I can. Okay, and I note in the chat that Carlton put a replacement sentence in for the one we were just working on, and it sounds pretty clean, so perhaps we can capture that. And Carlton says he can write but not speak. The question is, do you feel strongly about this whole section? Does it add enough to the report to warrant a page of document or... It certainly documents what you did and shows how diligent you are, but I'm not sure. All right. Carlton says he's not wedded. Does anyone see any need to keep this sentence, this section in? Jackie is typing. She wants to speak. Please go ahead. And Jackie says she's already removed the dash. All right, then we'll delete this paragraph, this section. Next page, recommendations, single who is. Ah, this is the section on recommendations where there's a problem, first of all, in that the lead-in sentence says, however, the review team, and number one says the review team accepts that WHOIS 1 review team's recommendation is fully implemented. The next three points don't follow, however, the review team. And the question is, do we want this content here under recommendations, since we are not making recommendations? And if we don't want it here, does it need to move somewhere else, or is it simply restating conclusions that we already came to earlier in the document? My inclination is to put simply none under recommendations and look at whether there's any content in these four bullet points that are not already stated somewhere earlier. And my inclination is to ask Carlton to look at the document and see whether this is just repetition or if it's stating anything new. I see Carlton is typing. All right. Jackie, if you can make a note to see how these those four bullet points fit in the research section, they may be partially replication, and they may be something there which we need to work into it. Next slide. This was a request from ICANN.org to clarify what we meant by saying the data on the WHOIS portal needed reorganization. And I added a paragraph, or a sentence rather, saying the current topic headings on the main portal are suited to those who are looking for information on specific issues. That is, they already understand the basics, but could benefit from groupings aimed at novices looking for an introduction or targeting a specific group, such as current registrants. And the next item was, I think that addresses the ICANN.org comment, and certainly the implementation review team can further add to that if it's not sufficiently clear. The next item was an action item to add an implementation note that the review team does not have any input to the ICANN budget. That was a comment from the NCS, that was driven by a comment from the NCSG saying they don't think we need outreach at all, but in any case it shouldn't affect the budget. And I'm not quite sure why we suggested at the face-to-face that there be an implementation note. I would think this is better targeted as simply a comment to the in the public comment tool in response to their request. Unless someone has any objection, I would not do an implementation note in the report because it's really a non sequitur in the report saying we have no input on the budget. And I see no hands or any comments, so I will accept that. Next slide. This is on compliance. We had an action item for Susan to clarify that ICANN will not go on fact-finding missions, but use information that they currently have on hand, input received. And Susan to clarify, compliance enforces registrars to enforce data accuracy for registrants. That's a confusing sentence, but Susan, is that something that's already been done or still on a to-do list?
I think it's been done, but I didn't double-check that, so I did not get through my to-do list for all of these slides, so I will do that by the end of the day.
Okay. Then let's assume it will be done. And
yeah.
Our able staff will keep tabs to make sure you and I do the things we promise. Next one, Alan.
Hard job to them when it comes to me.
Alan, to add a paragraph on the current situation, pointing out the paradox of goodwill versus doing it properly. I had trouble understanding what this sentence meant. But on talking on the leadership call, I remember the problem is that right now, and possibly continuing under the whatever the EPDP decides on, compliance is not able to look at the who is. So they currently have to ask the registrar, what does the who is say? And the registrar tells them, in theory, what the who is says. But they have no way of knowing whether the registrar is actually quoting from the who is or simply making up information and sending it to them. So, how can compliance verify that who is accurate when they can't actually look at it? And the challenge is to put that in a sentence that's understandable. Now, presumably most registrars will not lie to compliance and tell them something that isn't there. But there's no way for compliance to know, and that sort of defeats the purpose of what compliance is there to do. So I'm going to try to put that into words that don't sound too egregious, but point out that there is a potential problem. And unless anyone has any comments, Catherine, please go ahead. Catherine has put her hand down. Okay, she says she agrees with Alan. I'm assuming that's all you were going to say. Next item, so that's still an action item for me. Next page. Ah, okay, this is one for Lily. This is under section on accuracy, and it says the ARS project has only checked a small fraction of RDS WHOIS records, and quotes the number. The improvements of WHOIS data quality across the whole GTLD space is therefore still very limited. Now, Lily, I'm having trouble understanding this. The ARS project was never intended to actually act as a vehicle to fix accuracy, but just to monitor it. So I'm not quite sure what you were planning to get. I'm not quite sure what the purpose of this paragraph is. I see Catherine has her hand up, and we'll go to Catherine in a minute once we finish this item. Lily, can you add any insight? I mean, what you're saying is true, but I'm not sure it's relevant.
Alan, this is Catherine. Sorry, I couldn't get off mute earlier. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. Sorry about that. So what I wanted to say on the previous point of the ridiculous situation where compliance doesn't have access to the WHOIS is that unless there is a clear obligation, the access of compliance would be based on 6.1F of the GDPR for European data subjects, which basically means that the registrar would have to balance the interests of compliance in getting access with the interests of the data subject in its data not being revealed. And, of course, if compliance is about inaccurate WHOIS records and the data subject has some consequences to fear, it's interesting to see how that balancing exercise would come out. So even more, just to underscore the point that there really needs to be solid policy in place, because otherwise under the GDPR, given the different interests at stake here, it could lead to very interesting results depending on the interpretation of the contracted parties.
Yeah, I hesitate to get into an in-depth GDPR discussion, but I disagree with you. 6.1F is access to third parties, and there seems to be no dispute that although we don't know what kind of controller ICANN might be, we are certainly at least a partial controller of the data. So I think access of data to the controller is not a 6.1F issue. It's not a third party. So
well,
I'm
it depends
not sure
on how exactly the policy comes out, right? I mean, as it is now, I understand it's not part of the understanding that, I mean, if ICANN were to be seen as a controller at present, it wouldn't be having these issues.
The debate seems to be whether ICANN is a sole controller, an independent controller with other independent controllers, or a joint controller. Given that we set all of the policy, I don't see how it could be construed that we're not a controller in some context. Now,
right, but not ICANN.
No. Well, I don't think ICANN's contesting that either. There's no way they can.
Yeah.
They can disagree with anything.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
my point is
to underscore that there really is a need to sort this out, and that I do think we should absolutely add it to the report where possible.
Okay.
Leaving aside the debate on the exact modalities.
Okay. If Jean-Baptiste, if you could make a note that I should consider GDPR controller issues sentence I have to add or paragraph I have to add. The issue is a complex one, but I don't think there's any question that ICANN is some level of controller, and the concept of a controller that doesn't have access to the data, although it is not non-existent in GDPR, is very rare. That was the legal opinion we got on that. So it's an interesting situation. Thank you, Catherine. Back to Lily. Does Lily have have voice access today. We're now on slide 18, and we're looking at paragraph 5 on, not sure what page it is, of the data accuracy report. Lily, Lily, are you with us? Brenda, is Lily connected with phone, with voice? Looks like she's on the phone.
Yes, I agree. She is connected by phone. I don't see an issue on this end, but that's not 100%.
All right, let's come back to this one afterwards. Data accuracy. The ARS. Hold on. Try to find out where is this one in the report after recommendation 5.1. Ah, yeah, I'm just saying that this seems to need some level of revision. The ARS has been the only proactive measure to improve data quality. Yeah, this is again is a Lily one. Lily, could you type in if you hear us? Could you type in and let us know? Are you going to be able to speak? Sorry, Volker. Yes.
Lily is on phone only, so I don't believe she can see or type.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then Volker has his hand raised.
Yes, Volker, please go ahead. I'm sorry about this being. I'm sorry about this being a dentist office.
No, it's. I meant that in a humorous way. It's not. It's not really loud and annoying. Just a very low undertone that keeps the dread coming. I don't know. Anyway, I was just wondering about the statement that the ARS has been a proactive measure to improve RDS data quality. Has it really been, was that the target of the ARS? I think it was rather an analysis conducted over time, but not really directed at improving RDS data quality. While that has been a result, and certain results from the ARS are feeding into compliance to also do some work there, I don't think it was the general intent of the ARS to function in that role.
I agree, and that's one of the reasons I highlighted this sentence. The other part that I have concern with is the last sentence, saying the most common underlying cause was that registrars failed to validate and verify who is data in the first place. I'm not aware, but I may be wrong, that there is strong evidence that registrars are not complying with the 2013 RAA. Now, according to previous registration rules, they didn't have to do validation and verification. But this reads as if they were not doing something they were supposed to have been doing. Volker, go ahead, please.
I agree. The way that the last sentence is worded, it seems to be saying that this is the only conclusion and the reason for any failures are actually violations of registrars, and I think that's a very strong argument to make without any underlying data. I think if we want to say something like that, which I would propose we wouldn't, but if we were to say, we would have to caveat that with one possible explanation might be that, but this is basically drawing a conclusion without showing any evidence for it.
Yeah, there's an...
any evidence for registrars violating their obligations under the RIA. And if we don't see those any evidence for that, we cannot make that conclusion that the reason for inaccuracies are violations, because where's the evidence?
Yeah, no, that's why I highlighted. There's another sentence somewhere, and I can't locate it right now, that the compliance annual reports indicates a problem there. But I cannot find that. There was another issue. I don't know if it's in these slides or not. Hold on a second. Hold on. There was another issue in the compliance that I wanted to ask Lily about. And again, if Lily can't speak, we have a problem here.
And Brenda has just written that she was reconnected.
All right. Can Lily now speak?
Lily?
Now she shows as being on the phone but muted. Yeah, Volker, there's Lily has added a sentence to an earlier part of it saying, talking about problems, and the conclusion is that registrars normally don't validate or verify who is information in the first place. And this was identified as the most common issue by compliance in their annual reports of 2016 and 17. So I think we need to go back to those and see exactly what they said, because that doesn't sound like something I'm familiar with. And we seem not to be able to talk to Lily. All right, we're going to have to address these issues via email with Lily. Let's go on to the next item.
Thank you, Alan. And when you say we, you mean you, or?
I guess it does mean me.
All right.
All right. The WHOIS review team's recommendation suggests as non-binding options using a mix of incentives and sanctions to encourage adoption by service providers and enforce this policy once implemented. And I guess it's a question for Volker. I'm not sure how you can have a non-binding sanction. Volker, can you provide any input, or do we just need to reword it to not imply that the sanctions are non-binding?
Well, this flows from the original review team, and they correctly assumed that there would not be any way to directly contractually bind parties. Parties, and therefore that's why they have non-binding, and then they would be saying, for example, if they get accredited or if they do handle them in a certain way, then we could apply certain mechanisms that that would be binding. For example, if somebody agreed to a voluntary code of conduct or something like that. I think that's where it came from, but...
Okay, so I didn't read this as words that from the Who Is One review. If those are their words, then so be it, and we're not going to change them. I misread this, so let's just accept, leave it as is, if those were indeed the words they used. We can't fix those.
I think this goes back to the discussion that we had earlier with the sticks and the carrots that they recommended in regard to the accreditation scheme, and which turned out to be a lot of sticks and no carrots.
All right. If the wording comes from there, we'll Jackie, if you just make the comment disappear, and we'll go on to the next item. All right. Who is 11 common interface? Text needs revision. What text?
Oh, sorry, and it was the chapter itself.
Let me pull up the item.
Yeah, it was following on our discussion on the leadership call, where there were still a few editorial edits that need to be approved, etc.
Ah, okay. The first question is, whose section is common interface? That is Volker's. Volker, there are some questions highlighted, and these are questions I believe we asked ICANN. Are these error messages created by ICANN, or do they come directly from the registry or registrar? Does ICANN track how often these messages are presented in response to Whois query? Jean-Baptiste tells me that these were questions we asked ICANN and we got answers. So where are we now with integrating anything that we want to? Number one, removing the questions, and do the answers require us to add anything to the text? Either Jean-Baptiste or Volker.
I just wanted to clarify, Alan, that we had sent a reply just after the face-to-face meeting, and also Susanna requested that I resend it to her, which I did.
Okay. I think I heard Volker speaking.
It's been a while since I last looked at this at the face-to-face meeting and directly afterwards. I think I had made at the face-to-face meeting a suggestion of language that was supposed to clarify that, but Susan wasn't happy with that language and wanted to suggest the alternative. That was basically the state of affairs at that point. And there was also a comment, a question in the draft, which, with regard to the recommendation 11.1, that recommendation being all one sentence. However, I don't see a way of breaking that sentence down without making it substantially longer, so I would suggest leaving it like this, like the way it is.
Let me find that recommendation. I believe I said the same thing to Jackie. Jackie, I remember writing a comment that isn't there right now. You may have accepted it since then. But I think this is recommendation 11.1. R11.1 is the one that you suggested, pointed out that it's a single sentence. And I said I agree, but I'm not sure we can do anything about it, which is effectively what Volker just said. Am I remembering correctly?
Yeah, you basically noted that there was no easy solution, but I should look at it. I have no easy solution either.
Okay. There's a section just before the recommendation on rate limiting, and I added adding a sentence saying, although abusive behavior by the common interface needs to be considered, it is not clear that such rate limiting should be applied to the common interface. So, in other words, this is suggesting that the common interface needs to consider abusive behavior, but it should not be it itself should not be rate limited. So people should not be able to abuse it via the common interface. But it's not clear that the common interface should stop working because of registrar or registry imposed conditions. Volker, you're the one who has most operational involvement. Does that sound okay to you?
Yes. I mean, I absolutely agree that that it's useless to have a common interface if it's rate limited the same way as any other regular requester is. However, that presumes a certain level of care and attention to detail with the people that develop the interface at ICANN to ensure that the interface cannot be abused as a circumvention of rate limitations or a way to harvest data. And while they have a capture on that, I'm not sure how scriptable that is. I'm not a programmer, but basically it presumes that this portal, this common interface portal, is secure against abuse. And once that is guaranteed, then probably the rate limitations could drop or be adjusted.
You said that very genteelly. I'm not sure I would have phrased it as politely. All right. So I think the statement stands. The implementation is questionable. Okay. I think the general feeling is this section may need a little bit more work. But Volker, if you could look at the responses that came back. You said you phased responses, and Susan was not happy with them. Susan, do you have any recollection of that?
Susan has left the meeting, Ellen.
Ah, okay. Jean-Baptiste, if you could follow up between Volker and Susan and try to clarify whether there's an issue there. And one way or another, let's get rid of these highlighted questions.
Sure.
All right, next item. Internationalized registration data, I think, is pretty close. Final report, annual report, I think, is pretty close. I have not done the final proofreading of that. I had intended to do a full proofreading this weekend, and life didn't unfold quite the way it should have. Anything new, I believe, is close to final. Law enforcement. MSSI, the estimate of hours for MSSI is not with regard to the, we're now on slide 22, by the way. The estimate of hours for MSSI is in response to a public comment, not to be included in the report. So although that has to be done, it's the report is not hinging on it. And consumer trust, at the meeting, face-to-face meeting, we decided.
Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to go back to what you said for internationalized registration data and plan and annual reports. I just wanted to have your confirmation on when we can have a green light to send these sections for translation.
I hope by the end of today. That's assuming
okay.
We don't.
All right.
That's assuming there are no significant changes to be made. In the first sections I reviewed, there are some moderately significant changes. So, you know, we have to make sure they're clean. I don't want to send it to translation and then have to send them another version with significant work done. But in the case of
Correct.
Internationalized data, I don't think that's a problem. Annual
All
planner
right.
reports, I think, is also pretty clean. But I'll let you know. I'm going to try it by the end of today.
Yeah, whenever.
Okay.
agenda.
Okay, back to consumer trust. We decided to do a significant rewrite of the section. I have sent Erica a summary of what I believe needs to be done, and she hasn't been able to get to it. So at this point, since Erica's not on the call, I think I'm going to do a draft of it and try to get her to agree to review it, and because we're running out of time at this point. The intent of it was to focus more on the indirect consumer or user benefits from Whois and not look purely at the registrant issues, which the earlier section had looked at. Jean-Baptiste, a new hand? No. Okay. Safeguarding registrant data. I'm not quite sure what these changes are because the first one seems to be identical wording to the previous one. There's some funny anomaly as how these change, these edits are being reflected here.
Yes. Those were changes you had made to the recommendation, Alan, after discussion on plenary call, but I don't think, and I think that applies only for the last instance here on this slide,
yeah.
And this had not been presented on a call yet, just via email.
Yeah, the ICANN board should consider whether and to what extent notifications of breaches that it receives should be publicly disclosed. We decided on that at the face-to-face. So I think we've agreed on all of these on the SG1 changes already. I don't believe they've changed. Contractual compliance. This is CM2, and that was a rewrite that I did, and I think we had agreement on email that this is the one related to the grandfathered domains, and the ICANN board should initiate action intended to ensure that all GTLD domain name registration entries contain at least one full set of registrant or admin contacts comparable to those required under the 2013 RAA. Now, Volker, you may have seen the message I sent to the EPDP group. When I raised the issue of the fact that if we eliminate the admin field, we could be left with 2009 registrations or registrations under the 2009 RAA, which do not have contact information for the registrant. They don't have email or telephone contact information.
Yes,
James. James Bladel's view was if they are now under the 2013 RAA, that's the registrar's problem to make sure that they're fixed. But when I looked at the RAA wording, it is curiously worded to say that the information must be collected at registration time and afterwards maintained. So it's not clear whether ICANN compliance will view this as a registrar responsibility to go back and fill that in or to simply maintain the blank fields which were allowed under the previous registration, thus the question. So if it comes back and saying that James is right, that there should be no registrations right now without registration fields, without registrant contact fields, the question is, does this recommendation still need to be made?
As much as I hate to contradict my esteemed colleague, I think this might be a GoDaddy position rather than a position that applies to all registrars. I mean, most registrars don't have that problem, but I'm sure I've seen registrations out there that do, at least before GDPR happened. Now it's very hard to see whether that problem still exists or not.
Before GDPR happened, they could well have not been under the 2013 RAA. because the middle of last year was the only date. My inclination is it would be interesting to see what ICANN says. I would be surprised if ICANN agrees with James and says it's their responsibility to enforce compliance actions if the registrars don't do it. I would be surprised if James is right, and I think this recommendation still stands, and I don't think it hurts to keep it there anyway, despite what they say, what their answer is. So my inclination is to say this recommendation stands. We may find it less relevant than it otherwise would be.
I would support you in that assumption.
Okay. So, and the wording we agreed on by email, we'll have to do the final consensus call, but that one stands, I think. Okay, let's go ahead. We're going to run out of time if we're not careful. No, we're not. We are on any other business. The only any other business I have is looking at going forward. Sorry?
Yes, Alan, if I can just add something.
Oh, sure.
What will be really important moving forward is two things, just to confirm which chapters can be considered final so that they can listen to translation, since this is taking several days before this is done and can be included. And also, if you can, when you look at your sections, if you can confirm whether the updates address the operational input that was submitted in Brussels, that would be great. And I've added
I believe. I couldn't find the ICANN operational input, so maybe if you could send a copy to me.
That's the link just here on this slide.
There's a link on the slide. So if I look at the real slide, I should see a link.
I'm happy to resend it to you. That was sent via email, I think, on the morning of the face-to-face meeting.
Okay, that slide is not on the deck that you sent out earlier today or yesterday.
I had to add it before the call because I recall that we had this discussion on the leadership call, but I wanted to have confirmation on the chapters that need to be considered final.
All right. I now have that link, and I will preserve it. So I already have that. Thank you. Yes, I will make sure that is included. With regard to the first bullet, I will give you a list of sections as they are cleaned up. The ones I've referred to have a fair number of changes that have to be that I have to pass by Jackie. She may have done it already. I haven't checked. But I'll effectively release them to you as I finish them.
Perfect.
Now, going forward, we still need a list of the current versions of the recommendations to do a consensus call. Jackie has made a number of editorial changes in some of them. We need to make sure that they're done in the right place. Jackie was working at one point on the executive summary, whereas I think we were considering the recommendations within the report itself as the definitive ones. So we need to make sure we don't have two different recommendations that are going along in parallel, two different versions of the same recommendations. Once we have that cleaned up, we need to issue them via email for the final consensus call, and we need to do that moderately quickly. It would be preferable, but I'm not sure how practical it is, if we can, for each recommendation, show the version as it was at the end of the face-to-face, and then a marked-up version showing, you know, what the changes are. That may not be practical, but either way, we need to, at the very least, provide the final version of all the recommendations so we can do a consensus call on them. And I can talk to you and or Jackie privately and on how we get that out. But I think that has to be done this week.
But did we have agreements on the recommendations already, Adam?
I think I believe we had agreements on pretty much everything. But regardless of whether we had agreements or not,
yeah.
I believe before Volcker left, we had agreements on almost anything except one or two that he had changed.
Oh no, in Brussels, yes.
Yeah. But there's been editorial changes which have not changed the meaning, or hopefully did not change the meaning, but have changed the wording. And those are the ones that I was saying that if we can get a marked up version, fine. If we can't, then we'll live with the current version. But we do have to do a formal consensus call on the whole set. And clearly we're not going to get everyone at a meeting, so we're going to have to do it by email. Now, in terms of timing, I can't see any viable way forward if we do not get this report issued within, by the middle of February at the very latest. So the consensus call has to be done by the end of this week. We have not gotten very many people to go do full edits of their own sections, and that simply means they're delegating that to the leadership team and to Jackie. We're running out of time at this point. Any other items?
Alan, I just wanted to comment on the fact that you wanted slides to be sent with the final version. I don't know if that helps, but what I have currently, it's a slide deck with the version of the recommendation in the draft report and a version of the recommendation as they currently stand with track changes.
I think that would be fine.
Yes, all right.
I mean, ultimately, we need to get the final wording approved on the consensus call. To the extent we can show people what the changes were, that may make it a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But I we don't want people spending 6 days trying to reconstruct the changes if that's not practical. All right. Anything else? All right. May I suggest, instead of reading out the action items, because there's a really long list at this point, that we send it out in email, and if anyone has any problems, they will have to react quickly.
All right. I just wanted to ask you, was there an action item for contractual compliance?
Trying to remember. No, I don't believe so.
All right. Perfect.
All right. Last call for any comments. So action items will go out via email, and if you could review the decisions reached, and then we will adjourn the call. There will be another call. Let's look at a calendar for the moment while we're still under AOB. We have the 4th and the 11th. I would suggest we schedule calls for the next two meetings, for the next 2 weeks, with the understanding that the report must go out by the end of the week of the 11th. Over to you to wrap up, Jean-Baptiste.
Thank you, Alan. So as the decisions reached, we have the edits and updates to recommendation 1.1, 1.2, and recommendation 1.3 that are approved. The update to safeguarding registration data, recommendation 1 is approved too. Consensus call and recommendation is to be done by the end of this week. And then schedule calls for the next 2 weeks with report targeted to go out by the week of February 11th.
Thank you. And I will release the documents to you one by one for translation.
Yep.
All right. Thank you all for attending. And let's get this thing done. Bye-bye, all.